Please open up to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, let us give our attention to the reading of God's holy word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Some of you may have realized in reading this chapter now that many of the prohibitions which are listed in this chapter have already been stated in places prior, maybe even just ones we read earlier today or the week before. For instance, as some examples, against the giving of their children to the idol Molech in verse 1 through 5, we read of the same in chapter 18, verse 21. Against the consultation of witches, we heard earlier today in chapter 19, verse 31. Against the cursing of parents, we heard earlier today. They are commanded to be held in reverence, while in Exodus 21, 17, we hear that those who curse father and mother shall be put to death. Against the committing of incest, homosexuality, and bestiality, the same prohibitions are found in Leviticus 18, and so on. The question then arises, why would these prohibitions be repeated here, especially so closely together? In answer, let's consider at least three brief reasons. Number one, the people of God have need for repetition in their instruction. To write the same thing to you, or the same things to you, says the Apostle Paul, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Repetition of and in what is good is for our safety. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not, says Elihu to Job. The people of God, congregation, have need continually in this life to be lifted up from carnal, natural even, daily affections and thoughts unto those supernatural truths revealed by God in his special revelation, as a guiding north star to continually align our hearts and souls, our minds and strengths with the will of God for our sanctification and salvation. Consider further that these prohibitions listed possibly accounted for common practices in Egypt, the land from which they came, as well as Canaan, land to which they're going to inherit shortly thereafter. And so these particular sins were real, present, constantly temptations and examples before them from the nations in the known world around them. Hence in verse 23, the Lord says, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations, which I cast out before you." And yet here, a select sampling of these very sins is found in Israel in some time after. In 1 Samuel 28, Saul, after having removed wizards, witches, and the like from Israel, is found seeking a woman that has a familiar spirit to inquire after her. Thereafter, we find in 2 Kings 17:17, the people of Israel caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divinations and enchantments. In Amos 2:7, the prophet in the words of the Lord will complain and charge the people, being guilty that a man and his father go in unto the same maid. Ezekiel, the prophet, in 16:21, the Lord will complain, "Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them." And a few chapters thereafter, he will say, "In Israel have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution." And so on. Many more examples can be given. Congregation, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, as the apostle says. Do not despise repetition in Scripture. Do not say, "Oh, I've heard this before." Rather, take opportunity to acknowledge and confess your need to have his law hidden and written on your heart, that you may not sin or swerve away from your God. A final reason we may consider some repetition here in Leviticus is that while many of these prescriptions were previously declared, here, however, their punishments are in a greater manner handled. And so, as the famous commentator Matthew Henry has well stated, those who would not be deterred from sin by the fear of God might be deterred from it by the fear of punishment. Observe in this chapter how the punishment most often attended with these violations is that of capital punishment, punishment which involved taking away the life of the person. In our English translation, the phrase "put to death" occurs 9 times in this chapter for 7 different cases. For those who would give their children to Molech, those found to be consulting witches, children who would curse parents, spouses committing adultery, family committing incest, persons committing sodomy, and individuals with animals committing bestiality. And that is without getting into what is meant by the following judgments mentioned in this chapter: to be cut off, that occurs 5 times. to have God's face set against them. That occurs three times. To have them bear their iniquity or sin also occurs three times. Having said all that, by way of preface, let's move into particular cases verse by verse. In verse 1, we have, "Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death." Here there is no favoritism. There are no exceptions. Whosoever he be, the Lord said, all stand equal on a level footing before the law of God. Any, whether of Israel or of a stranger that lived among them, if they were to offer their children, even God's children, as we heard from Ezekiel earlier, to Molech, they were to be killed. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now, you must not imagine some crazy riot, right? Some vigilante Jews, lots of disorder. No, they had an order to their legal and political processes, as can be seen in other places of Scripture. Nevertheless, the people present, especially the witnesses, were to join in the judgment and execution as testimony that such a thing was abominable to them. Their children were not Molech's. Their children were the Lord's. And so, fathers and mothers, you have begotten children unto the Lord. They are not your own for your own ideals. They are entrusted under your care to raise them unto him and for him. You bear responsibility for the education, the rearing and raising of these children unto the Lord. You cannot place that responsibility anywhere else. As some of us were discussing during our men's breakfast meeting, we can at times delegate authority in various circumstances, but we cannot delegate responsibility. Children, be reminded from this that you are not your own. You belong unto the Lord. And in your baptism, you have that engagement visibly placed upon you to be his forever and no others. In verse 3, "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." Note whether this offender explicitly intended and thought in so many words the outcome of his action. It's not the point or what's regarded. The intention of the trespasser may have been to do honor to both Molech and Jehovah, as we hear of in the Gospels of one trying to serve mammon, or wealth, and God. It is impossible, whatever one says or thinks. This deluded trespasser was in reality, whether he thought it or not, polluting the people and unhallowing God's name, bringing it down as to be made of equal authority or less to that of Molech. This is not to suggest that our intentions are not important, right? In fact, they make up part of our obedience. Nevertheless, they are not the whole of our obedience. As the well-known saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You have good intentions? Great. Very well. Match your good intentions, right, with good knowledge as to the matter and manner of your actions. This is part of our sanctification, part of renewing our mind, part of hallowing God's name. Now in verse 4, maybe out of one's affections for his neighbor, friend, or family member, they look the other way and pretend to not know of their fellow countrymen's offering up their children to Molech. What was to happen upon finding out? The Lord said in verse 5, "I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech." The Lord declares that he will not only set his face against the man that offered his children unto Molech, but also to those who secretly allowed, connived, and enabled the man to continue after such an offense. God himself would set his face against them, both the initial offender and the conniver. Although they escaped the notice of men, it would not escape God's righteous judgment and his overruling providence. And notice God's face not only is turned against them as individuals, but in verse 5, and against his family. Remember, Christians, that while you no longer live in political Israel and are not under those penal and judicial laws that have since expired with that nation, understand well that your sins affect not only you, but those with whom you are intimately, even covenantally, connected to. Your sins will find you out, as Moses says, even in and among your families, as it would be here in this case. Yes, God in his providence deals with individuals, but he also deals with them as members of families, of nations, of tribes, of congregations, and so on. In verse 6, as well as verse 27, we read the prohibition against seeking after those who have familiar spirits and after wizards. Those who had familiar spirits, also known as necromancers, were those who supposedly communicated with the dead, while wizards would be those who told fortunes and things of the like. Rather than be sought out, entertained, explored, humored by, they were to be put to death, as we read in verse 27. This was and still is today a direct offense against the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." All attempted compacting and or consulting with the devil, as our larger catechism calls it, is not to have place among the holy people of God. In verse 7 through 8, the discourse rises up to an exhortation, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." The people are reminded for the rationale of their holiness. "I am your God, a holy God, therefore, be holy." They were to use all the means provided for to sanctify themselves. And yet notice at the end of verse 8, "I am the Lord which sanctify you." It is God that sanctifies. It is God that has drawn out a people for himself. And he makes them holy outwardly and inwardly, definitively and progressively. If that be the case, saints of God, it is for us to apply ourselves to the means of holiness and sanctification, but God's part to give the growth, to make us holy. In verse 9, we have the prohibition and death penalty for those who would curse their parents. "His blood shall be upon him," it says. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, will bring up this very prohibition and death penalty, conjoined with the fifth commandment, to reprove the scribes and Pharisees for violating it by their tradition, whereby one did not need to provide for their ailing father or mother. And so we learn, as the original suggests, that cursing one's parents is not merely to be understood as in so many words, "I curse you, father and mother," but the prohibition encapsulates many kinds of abusive or insulting language to parents, the despising of them, and the willful neglect of them when in need. In verse 10, we have the case of adultery with another man's wife. The two consenting parties were to be put to death. In a day in society where adultery is considered the norm and expectation of many marital relationships, where at times it is laughed at and made something to be entertained, and in a society that devotes an entire month for the promotion of certain other perversions, it can be a shock to hear that adultery be punishable by death. Punishable not just in Moses' time, but we hear of, in Genesis 27, Abimelech is threatened by death if he makes any advances upon Sarah and does not restore her to Abraham as his rightful wife. In Job 31:11, it's called a heinous crime, adultery is. A heinous crime, an iniquity to be punished by the judges. Some authors have compiled various reasons. Some are which adultery is a breach against the covenant, institution, and purposes of the Lord. It is a great injury against the innocent party. It casts forth dishonor upon the offender, his children, and all that belong to him. It corrupts a land and people and tends towards the ruin of every good thing. Therefore, says one renowned commentator, adultery is fit to be censured upon by the conservators of the public peace. In verse 11, a man that would lay with his father's wife, both were to be put to death. This sin, by the way, is mentioned in the New Testament Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 5:1. And resulted in excommunication. In the Old Testament, Israel would have resulted in death as well as excommunication for both consenting parties. And even as the new, there was a repentance of the offending party, there may have been opportunity as well for that offender in the old before they were put to death to repent of their sins. Nevertheless, the consequence is not to be removed. In verse 12, the same is said for a consensual coming together of in-laws. They have wrought confusion. There ought not to be such things, such thoughts, words, or actions between family members. Right? Family members are off limits. Verse 13, homosexual relations, or what is called sodomy, are subject to capital punishment. It is an abomination. Their blood shall be upon them. Verse 14, taking a woman and her mother for intimate relations, they were to be killed by burning with fire, that there be no wickedness among you. In verse 15 to 16, perverting human intimate relations with beast or bestiality of and animals of any kind. They called for the death of the person and the animal. Whatever should carry forth the memory and perpetuation of that perversion was to be removed and taken away from among them. Again, in verse 17, siblings, step-siblings were off-limits for marital relations. They would be cut off if they engage in such activity. In fact, we confess in our confession that no such incestuous marriages can ever be made lawful by any law of man or consent of parties. In verse 18, the case of a lawfully married couple arises who knowingly and intentionally have intimate relations during the woman's monthly course. Leviticus 15:24 will speak of the same thing, but done ignorantly. Here we have a willful transgression. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And finally, in verse 19, 20, and 21, we have aunts and uncles with nephews or nieces forbidden. They shall bear their iniquity. An uncle's wife, and by consequence an aunt's husband, is forbidden. And the penalty attached, they shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Verse 21, likewise the spouse of a sibling is forbidden. Then in verse 22, there's a shift made to exhortations toward holiness, towards keeping all my statutes and all my judgments. Why? That the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. Why, or how would the land spew them out? We see in verse 23, if the nations before them that had that land prior to them were removed and judged by God for the very same things, would they think they could do likewise and not receive the same consequence? No, as the apostle says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You wish to sow again in this land all the manner of sins these nations committed before you? Very well, shall reap the same consequence. But I have said unto you in verse 24, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. A good land, I will give it to you. I have separated you from the others, and I will give it for you to possess. Therefore, in verse 25, put a difference in the things that I have told you to put a difference in, beast, fowls, and things that creep on the ground, and so on. I have separated you to be clean, to be holy. Why? End of verse 26 tells us that you should be mine. And that concludes our reading in chapter 20 of Leviticus.